the leaders are united. They don't have to fight. And the sheep suddenly stop butting each other, look up and say, hey, they are friends up there. And then they will stop fighting. And sometimes people have to separate, like Paul and Barnabas, for some reasons. See, to work together, you have to not only be able to love one another, you must agree on a lot of things. You must agree, number one, on doctrines. At least most of the doctrines you're going to deal with. Some minor doctrines you don't have to agree because there are so many possibilities. But major doctrines you cannot go wrong. Doctrinal issue. And I mean, if someone takes a stand that there's no baptism in the Spirit and you take that there is, there's no way you're going to work together. You see, we need to understand that in the body of Christ, we can love everybody. We must love everybody. But we cannot work with everybody. For working together, you need to agree doctrinally, to a large sense. Working together, you have to agree to the methods of working. I mean, I can agree doctrinally with another person, but his way of carrying out something is different from mine. I will still love him, but I cannot work with him. It's obvious. I mean, if a preacher style, you will not find it in any of my associates. When we associated together, we make a certain understanding. You will not find a single of my associates going for the outlandish lifestyle. Because we are dealt with that issue. And we do not want an associate who does that. And in the body of Christ, you will find some people with a certain style. You can be sure we'll drag him to the room and deal with that. But if the person is working independently, you have to fellowship with everybody. Let's face it, we have to fellowship with everybody. Because we are all part of the body of Christ. We have to be able to love one another. But working together is different. Because if we work together, for example, if a preacher wants to take 1 hour collecting the offering, I'm not going to work with him. Because he's going to put me to shame and my practices to shame. He's going to make me turn red, blue, orange, purple. While he's doing that, I will be so embarrassed for Jesus Christ. So I can love him, but I will not be on the same organizing team with the person. Because I cannot sanction such a thing. It is an embarrassment to the body of Christ. So as you can see, that has nothing to do with doctrine. That is called method and style. So to work together, we need to agree on method and style. We need to agree to doctrine in a certain area. We need to agree on method and style. So these things are important. And Paul and Apollos are agreeable on doctrine. They're agreeable on style. But their gifting was different. We don't have to have the same gifting to work together. We don't have. Because the more diverse the gifting and you work together, the more glory God gets. As different parts of the body function together. So it deals with division that way. And sometimes a division is necessary, not so much a division, but more a separation of working. And so it's important when we see a church potentially going to split because of doctrine or style, then I know that there's no way we're going to sew it back. I mean, if one believes in baptism in the Spirit, one doesn't, try to sew as you might, you'll be sewing until Jesus comes. There's no trade that can put that working together. You just have to say, both shake hands, pray for one another, and work separately, and bless one another. Usually, if we are caught in the middle of it as a mediator, we will speak to the leaders and say, for the sake of all the sheep, if you all want to say goodbye to each other in the terms of working, but nobody can really say goodbye to each other forever. Because in heaven, if you don't like anybody in the body of Christ, you better start changing your heart to love that person. Because God may decide to make him your neighbor in heaven. His mansion will be right next to yours. For the sake of the sheep, for the sake of the sheep, we need to get the leaders united. So that if the leaders are going to separate, they're going to pray for one another. They're going to bless for one another. They're going to love one another. And they're going to part. And some of you are probably going to quote, but Paul and Barnabas had a big fight and separated. Good. It just shows you didn't read history. In the apocryphal writings of the early church fathers, there is a record of how they parted. Barnabas and Paul. This is where church history counts. Read the early church fathers, the history, the records, how they parted. It is recorded how they parted. Barnabas and Paul cried. Then they prayed for one another. And then they parted. Praise the Lord. Why that, must that be done? Because if the leaders want to part, they must part in love. Listen very carefully. If you have to leave or divide or separate in any way, from any church or in any way, if you don't part in love, one day down the road, you will still have to do it. You will still have to do it. It will be an empty grave in your life that you never covered. The sting will come out all through those years down the road. Until it gets so unbearable down the road, you will have to get back and say, well, let's get together and love one another. It has to start somewhere. And it's important. Why? Because I'm speaking from experience. We left our second church, and not on that good terms. There was disagreement on methods and church structure. So we didn't really leave in good terms, but we make sure our heart was clear. About 4 years later, God touched my heart, said, write a letter. I tell you, God will deal with it. You can sweep it under the carpet, God will lift up the carpet for you to see. Once in a while, He take it up. Now look. One day, as we were having a great meeting in our new church, Tabernacle of Glory, I was driving back and the anointing of God was still strong. We had a glorious presence of God. On the way back to my home, as I reached the traffic light and stopped, the Lord said, I want you to write a letter to the old church. Say, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, do it while the anointing is strong. Maybe when it's weak, I won't do it. I write the most loving letter I could. And on my files, I have a file for it. I am a very systematic person, and everything is filed up. So I even have a file called apologies. I forgot to bring it tonight. And I have a file of apologies, and among the apologies is one to the first church I ever pastored as a student in Penang. It was a Baptist church. And there's one on file. And then there's another one on file. Different files and files to different groups and all that. It's all apologies from me to them. And I receive very few from others to me though. Praise God. But that could be good because that means I didn't hurt other people. But that is important. God will deal. And when I did it, there was a release in my spirit. When you do it every time, remember that is called humbling yourself. And as you humble yourself, God gives you more grace. God gives you more grace. Leaders need to be united and stand together And whenever you have to leave any place, leave the right way. You leave the wrong way down the road, you still got to deal with it. So it's better to leave the right way. So dealing with division, the leaders must be united. If the leaders could unite, and sometimes it's so hard and hot that it's hard to unite on how to live and separate properly. Get a third party who's neutral, mediator. I mean, there are a lot of good people in the body of Christ who'll be willing to do that. And we have always make ourselves very willing. And because we want to see unity in the body of Christ. So the leaders must be united, as in chapter 3. Secondly, we see here in verse 21, 22, chapter 3. Therefore, let no one glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. And in any division, the sheep must be made to gain. In other words, it is not a lose win situation where one side has to lose and the other side has to win. I believe in a win-win situation where both sides may give up some, but both sides will gain from the situation. It's a win-win situation. And so it's where no one glories but the Lord. Because in any division, sometimes people like to take the glory. I'm of God, you're not of God. This is the anointed one, that's the anointed one. Touch not the anointed. No. Favorite scripture of a pastor who is in need of correction. Right. And so we should not be using all these terms to frighten people. Although we know it is true that we should not deal with the anointing lightly, but I don't think that is a scripture to use. And I'm speaking as a pastor. I'm not speaking, you know, as a layman. I'm speaking as a man of God. That I personally don't feel that the scripture is the right scripture to use. When someone has something to correct, it would just show that we are being unteachable. I mean, even if you're anointing of God on your life, and anointing also means love, you'll be able to take anything, even if it's a wrong correction, you'll be able to take it. You'll be strong enough to take it without calling down fire, right? So we must see in a division, point two, that Christ gets the glory. And that no one gets the glory. Because if anyone, as long as there's pride and there's self-glorification, there will be no peaceful solution. As long as people want to save face and people don't want to lose their face, and instead of taking care of Christ's face, there is no solution. But if in the heart of all those who are in the midst of a division, in their heart they are really wanting to glorify Jesus, the solution is quite possible. And in general, I found that most Christians really love the Lord. And if they do, it's possible to have a peaceful solution so that Christ is glorified. The third situation in chapter 4 here, and last one in verse 14 and 15. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children I write you. For though you may have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. Now verse 16 looks very strong. All the different groups, I am of Paul, I am of Cephas, I am of Apollos, I am of Christ. Paul says, imitate Paul. In that sense, he gives more strength to his. Because the third thing is important. we need to understand that sometimes long-term spiritual and sometimes natural relationship gives an extra authority.